Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
So the origin of our faith is the Word of God. The object of our faith is the God of the Bible, the Son of God, and the operation of our faith is the man of God.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you put your trust and your security and your faith in something can be taken away, you will end up being a very insecure person, and you will be driven by fear. And that's why God, who put eternity in man's heart, there's a God-shaped vacuum in every one of us that only God can fill. And people spend their whole life trying to fill it with something else. And that's why God sent one book called the Bible to help us as mankind turn our hearts to God through His Son and live by faith. Now, if you could understand that, let me just briefly walk through Hebrews 11 and then maybe illustrate it in a person that would be insecure versus very secure. Because very simply, living by faith, what makes even a Christian one so secure and yet joyful while others seem to live on a very roller coaster of emotions? Learning to put your trust in things that cannot be taken away is an essential ingredient to victorious living. For example, in Hebrews chapter 11, there is a list of men that God's elevated. He's not made a movie about every one of them, but He has documented something far beyond what a movie would state because it's an accurate documentation of men living by faith. What is faith? Very simply, faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for. It's, in other words, substance is something that you have seen, and faith is that substance of things that's hoped for. It's the evidence. It's the conviction of things that are not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report, ones that he referred to earlier in the book. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then he begins to describe it or illustrate it with multiples of people, whether that's Abel or Enoch or Noah or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in verse 20, 21, and even Joseph in verse 22. They all, and Moses in verse 25, then even Moses, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God in contrast to enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Maybe give you an overview of faith and then very simply make some application. Because first of all, number one, the origin of our faith is the Word of God. I have Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you can also put Romans 10:17, because it is by faith. And how faith comes is by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor, if that faith is substance, if you mean then we're living by faith, it means you don't have to think, you're just going to end up stepping out. No, the point is, faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a step into the light. You don't generate faith. Faith is a gift. God gives you that faith. And as He gives you the gift of salvation, that faith that comes outside of yourself. The origin of our faith is the Word of God. But number two, the object of our faith is the God of the Bible. He's the God of the Bible. In other words, as Jesus in Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. You see, the point is your faith is no better than the object of your faith. Are you with me now? Understand that the object of your faith is the God of the Bible. The object of your faith is the Son of God. Your faith is no better than the object of your faith. In other words, if you have faith in faith, that's just positive thinking. If you have faith in fate, well, it's just gonna happen. Then really, you're just hoping for the best. This is not referring to faith in yourself. In other words, if you believe in yourself, if you believe you can achieve, it's a great catchy slogan for seminars out there, but it's not Bible. It's faith in God. And so the origin of our faith is the Word of God. The object of our faith is the God of the Bible, or the Son of God. And the operation of our faith is expressed through our lives. The operation of our faith is the man of God. That's what Philippians 3:9 says, to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, the point is faith is belief with legs on. If you are going to step out by faith, then that faith is going to be expressed in obedience. You know the simple story of the man at Niagara Falls who was standing there looking, and the wire stretched across Niagara Falls, the man with the wheelbarrow, he said, how many of you believe that I can do this and walk across the tightrope across Niagara Falls? And eventually took a wheelbarrow across there and said, how many of you believe that I could put somebody in there and take them across? And everybody said yes, and then yet no one wanted to jump in a wheelbarrow to go across Niagara Falls. Because faith is expressed when the guy jumps in a wheelbarrow and goes across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. So the fact is that God, as He will work in your life, is going to put you into places that you are going to have to express faith by obedience. He's not going to leave you content just to live a close, confined, safe environment. He's going to put you in places that you have to exercise that faith. In other words, the faith that the Bible talks about is putting your trust, your confidence in something that cannot be taken away. That security or that faith is based on relationships. And the security that you have in life is based on a relationship with Christ. And if you do not have the relationship with Christ, then you will continually look through life looking for that security or trying to put that faith in something else. But if it's something to be taken away, it leaves a person very, very insecure. And that's not the will of God. The objective of faith is the will of God. And the very objective for why God has given you faith in expressing that is to do the will of God. Now, let me just give this to you as just an illustration, because I think it's helpful. It might be helpful to you that when you find people, even a Christian, that would not by living by faith, even as the men that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, but have a tendency and propensity, even as a Christian, to live in a very insecure way of life. In other words, they are putting their confidence or trust in things that can be taken away. Jeremiah 17 talks about the dwarfed bush, that even as the children of Israel were living in a very insecure place, just as a bush was in contrast to the palm tree, in contrast to a secure position. When you find people that are living in very insecure places and living of life, you will find them to add to their life things to try and help them be secure, and it only complicates their life. For example, let me give you this as a simple cycle that might would help. When a person is living very insecure, they're living without faith, you will find that that insecurity, which by the way, again, security is based on relationships. Even people that don't know the Lord can try and find that security in relationships. There's many a person that have no security in their life. They don't have a mom and dad, or they're coming from a divorce situation, or coming from a home that's very upheaval, and their whole life becomes one of being very insecure or very fearful. When a person is very insecure, it will lead them in a wrong direction. And most of the time, it will lead a person, particularly when that childhood years growing up, if they don't have that security in a home, that God designed the home to be a place of security, a place of comfort, a place of protection. If you would, a hospital for their life and their hurts. And if they don't have it, you will find that person, by the time they hit their preteen and teen years, to look for that security. And that security, they will find it, but they will find it in wrong habits and wrong friends. You'll find many a teenager in his own way, really knowing in his heart of hearts that the thing that they are doing is not right. But they're so desperate for relationships to make them feel secure that they will do whatever just to get that security. That's why you end up finding many times relationships between a guy and a girl in those teen years to be great difficulties, physically, they're violating their conscience, they're violating God's law, but they're wanting that security so badly that they will give away whatever just to get that sense of security. You'll find them developing habits and patterns in their life that are contrary to God's will for their life and contrary to what God's best for them is, but they basically look for people that are just like themselves. That's why it's so comic when you go to the mall, you find teenagers that all want to be drastically different by being exactly alike. Same baggy look, the same t-shirt, the same jeans, the same shoes. Why? Because you know what? I want to be different, but I want to be different by being exactly alike, so they go to find the same things, which is not that difficult on this island, because basically after three or four shops, you're all buying the same things anyway. So on this island, it's really kind of a good way to go because you don't have to find too much different. You end up finding people being very insecure that leads them to bad habits and wrong friends, and ultimately that's what drives them to having a sense, a deep sense of guilt. And that guilt is, as we said before, God never designed man to live with guilt. And when a person's living with that guilt, that either leads them to depression and loneliness, which ultimately leads them to a very negative view, a wrong view of themselves. And that view of themselves, which ultimately, if not dealt with, and their perception of themselves becomes reality. They perceive themselves as basically, I got nothing to offer. I don't have anything. Really, no one wants me. My dad's too busy. My mom's busy. And so really, they say they care. They love me, but actually, they're not around much. I spend more time with my friends or more time in this particular last few years. They spend more connected to people on the internet or people they never see, which is even a greater breeding ground for that insecurity. Because now, it doesn't matter what I look like because they don't know what I look like. I could make myself look like whatever I want to. They put themselves in chat rooms where they can show their intellectual prowess by getting on a thesaurus and a dictionary that no one knows they really have up in front of them, and they're looking like, wow, I'm really smart. The difficulty is it becomes a big, huge insecurity for their life. That's why you find today, particularly, people that are living in extremes. Because they're looking for something that will fill that God-given vacuum that only God Himself is going to fill. And on the simple explanation of that, that's why ultimately you will end up finding in some cases where that thoughts of suicide or that 1 John 4:18, do you remember? That perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. You end up seeing people today that living life, and not just in their teen years, but even into their adulthood, there are some adults, some married people that live like they're single. And that whole breeding ground is totally contrasted in our day and age to what God's ultimate best is for mankind. God never wanted man to live that way. By the way, let me speak to we as parents, that we have a huge job to be able to help our children live in very secure places. Because their whole world is not secure. They said that even with many an interview by young children, that the most fearful television program that is out there today for them is the news. Because in their little minds, they see things going on in other parts of the world, and in their mind, that must be happening here around the neighborhood as well. You end up having people that live very insecure lives because they're continually putting their trust and confidence in things to be taken away. And ultimately, when a person is looking at this, they get more insecure and they look more for those physical relationships and more for those habits that ultimately bring more guilt and more of a view of themselves. Now, if we're left with that, that's an ugly picture because that really is a total view of self. The good thing is that God says, listen, when I come into your life, you don't have to keep living that way.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.